Researcher, how does it feel to achieve your goal after 9 years of trying? Zosia, I still don't believe it until this day. Researcher, and for how long did you try? Vanda, 4 years, but in a sense, regardless of if you are trying for 10 years or a year or 5 years, this time is always too long. It is always a whole universe of expectation. It is obvious that 10 years cannot be compared with a year. But I think that from the perspective of a person who is waiting, it can be compared. Infertility is a state of an inability to fulfill an overwhelming desire that defies all logic. Zosia, something that flows around you and you miss out on it all the time. To this day, I'm telling you, I can't believe it. The little one in my belly starts kicking and I still can't believe it. However, I think that it is the intestines, but I imagine that what is knocking is the hen, not the intestines. Lucina, let me tell you, for the first time in my life, a 40-year-old woman, I remember standing in the parking lot next to the clinic and telling my husband that I would sacrifice my soul to the devil to make it work. And later I was so afraid, although I'm not a headstrong Christian and I'm just trying to carry the church somewhere inside me and to be a modest person. And then I got scared. Eva. And finally the test came out positive. It was such euphoria. I have never experienced such joy in my life. Because it was the first time I allowed myself to experience such unconditional joy, I was so happy. I was moved every step I took. Driving somewhere by car, for instance, stopping at a red light, I would just burst into tears with emotion that here I am, not alone in this car, but with a child. I would run to do the beta every 2 days to see how it grows. Everything was wonderful, beautiful. And when my then still nameless son was born, when I heard him cry and later I hold him to kiss and cuddle, and I remember that I had this feeling that I would find him now, even at the end of the world. That now that I know what he looks like, I won't confuse him with any other child. Sylvia. In my family, it was this kind of pressure about this. Why don't you have children? How come? Yes, because you live so comfortably. My sister used to say that too. You have such a comfortable life. You know, it's terribly difficult when you have inside this need for children. People around you have them. You know that you have difficulties. You hide it. You don't want to admit it. You think it's all right. You accept everything that fates give you, but it's not entirely true. However, you wish for something, which may change your fate. And yet, in the family, you are perceived with absolute certainty that we don't want to, because we live so comfortably. We earn good money. We have a great job that is important. We travel around the world, whether it's for Christmas or skiing or for work. It's just that no one in the world is better off. And on top of that, we also bought a dog, right? And you know, that at dinner saying, when you are old, your dog will make you tea. Why have kids? Renata. But that we also must answer the question, why do we need children? Why do we want children, right? I mean, it's not the kind of question you can just sit back, answer and move on. There is usually no need to have such an extensive response. The kids just come. Sometimes people say, I want children, and they just are. And if they are not there, then you have to answer, but why do I want to have them? Do I really want them? And I also think to myself, they will take something from me. They will take something from me. And that I have to wish 3 times as much for everything to work out and question. Do I actually want 3 times as much? Normally you say, I want children, and you get pregnant. So this need is enough, just a little, right? And that this is usually enough and that it is somehow in line with biology. Because in every pregnancy there is a space to want and not to want. And to be happy and to worry, right? However, if you can't, then the space to worry and not to want it must be smaller, because the bigger one must always be to want it, to want it, to want it so much all the time. And yet this is not true, because I do not want to like all other women. That is, I'm just afraid. Mary.
Yeah, well, I think there is some desire for biological survival to it, that it will be a part of me.
Kaya.
You know, it's probably some kind of instinct that we are not fully aware of. Almost every woman has this instinct. And I certainly wanted to have a child in order to pass on the values that we represent, our family represents, to pass them on. That, and to have a nice partner to talk to have someone to love. Well, there are plenty of reasons.
Treatment.
Eva.
Although I waited anyway. I waited anyway because I hoped that maybe I thought something wrong. Maybe something shifted, or maybe those sperm survived, or maybe... I always had hope. I just took a pregnancy test every month, to the point that I just started going to the pharmacies further away, where they didn't know me yet, because I was just ashamed to buy the pregnancy test. For sure, the degree of my desperation was insanely high. I was just ready to do anything, anything. Like a split personality, on the one hand, some common sense was telling me that it was funny, that I just do things that are unbelievable. And on the other hand, my emotions turned me on so much that I was completely unable to stop it and did strange things. I would try acupuncture. I also drank some herbs, which I don't know what they were at all. It wasn't in any original packing at all. It was in some bags and I ate it all, torturing myself. But then, when level of desperation dropped, I thought to myself, okay, I trust him. He has some sources. But who knows what it really is? Maybe someone just swept the floor, put it in a capsule and sent it to me, and I'm spending an enormous amount of money on it and just eat it with good faith, right? In fact, the worst part was that I still believed. It was exhausting. The fact that every month I experienced such a loss and tragedy that it didn't work out again. Because I tried to deceive myself a bit. Not that it's impossible, but you know, who doesn't play the lottery doesn't win, even though it's impossible. Impossible. But this hope was there, and it was incredibly strong. And I remember every test I've done and this huge disappointment that there is only one line again. And I just had such depressive moments in my life when I wasn't able to control what I was feeling at all and somehow return to life balance. I was just completely falling apart. It bothered me a lot that I was losing control over my life, that I gave up everything. From some social gatherings in a larger group, from going on vacation, from work. Although I thought it was stupid, I told myself that I would wait another month because this month it would definitely work. And then it didn't work out again. And I gave myself permission for another month. And so it went on, indefinitely. At that time, of course, I'm on the internet all the time and torture myself with various information and order lots of vitamins, evening primroses and some other miracle cures and take it all. The fact that I did not shine at all during this period is a miracle. I think I have a really good liver to allow me to cope with all of this. Because at this stage, I was just swallowing a handful of drugs. I had all sorts of dreams, that I couldn't believe that I was pregnant, that my child was born and I had nothing for him, that my mother and aunt came and were wrapping this baby in clothes, and this baby had to be bathed in a bucket, that I just totally slept through this pregnancy as if I couldn't believe it was real.
Lydia, treatment beginning in the 1990s, and the problems began. It's not there, not there, not there. So I'd go to the doctors. First, the doctors said that I need hormones. That's all right. I was taking these hormones. Nothing was there. Well, so I started to act in a different way. I went wherever I could. I even tried the hands that heal, that you feel their warmth. You try everything, wherever you heard something, where you could help, I went there. Because it's normal that a person wanted to have a child. My husband didn't believe in such things. He didn't want to. He finally decided, I persuaded him to get tested, and he was at 200%, so they told him male.
Technology.
Anna.
But it is an amazing feeling to see this beating heart on this day so early. It's just some kind of magic, really, that science is developing so far that you can already monitor such young fetuses. That's cool. Well, and that's how it started.
Peter, my semen was tested and I was on pins and needles. I just sat there and prayed that this embryologist among those 30-something millions, because it wasn't about quantity but quality, that among those 30 millions he would find that one, maybe two, maybe three. Okay, let him find four that will be good and it can be fertilized. I was on the phone and they were searching, searching, searching. And that was probably one of the most gruesome moments I've been through in our process of trying. It is an indescribable stress when you have no control over anything. In general, the problem of infertility itself is that you have no influence on anything, nothing. Person is helpless, totally. We got a call, I got a call, and they say, yes, they found it. I say, oh my, great, great, great. I was so relieved, I wanted to jump up, I lifted my wife up. I mean, if she hadn't been after that puncture, I would have lifted her up, but I hugged her and said, honey, yes, it's going to be fine, it's all right. After an hour they called and said that they have not found it and do not know where it is. I don't know what happened.
Radek. For her, it's hardcore, and for me, it's empathic hardcore, relationship hardcore. You cannot do anything. You live through disappointment every month because you sit in these clinics, couples go there, they come together, sometimes separately. It's always the woman talking to the receptionist, the man is standing next to her. It's always the case that a man, as soon as he takes care of his girlfriend, calls what's going on at work. That is the way it is. For example, I take care of things, I have to leave work, and when there is a moment when everything is taken care of, I call work. My mind wanders elsewhere. I try and I do, I am, I ask, and so on. But up these stairs in the clinic, the woman always goes first. The man always goes behind. She always comes to the reception desk. She comes in first, she does the work. They always come in and he sits down and waits for her to sort things out.
Robert. During treatment, it was my world, my topic, my intimacy, my life. And everyone should stay away from it. And like you say, the guy is mercilessly alone with it all.
Researcher. I think it is difficult for men to talk about their suffering, and this is suffering.
Robert. Of course, he has no right to complain. He must always be strong, ready to face challenges. To fulfill, satisfy expectations. The environment creates expectations, and a person turns this bunny chase on even more.